Question 131. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Luke 22:48. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Deceptions, perfidy, treachery, and betrayals, in order to be most effective, depend upon a certain amount of intimacy. The closer the deceiver gets, the deeper and more effective becomes the subterfuge. Also, the closer the relationship between the betrayer and the betrayed, the harder it is to believe in the possibility of treason. It's impossible to know what Judas was thinking when he betrayed Christ, but as an insider, his betrayal was most effective. Through this, one may learn a lesson about human nature and about betrayal and deception. Although enemies from without may be threatening, it's common to find the real nemesis nestled under the wing of their target of betrayal. If deception comes, if treachery is underway, it's not likely sniper fire from a remote location. Whether it is a business or a church, a ministry or a friendly fellowship, any campaign where there is a true enemy fixated upon the demise and ruin of that endeavor, if true betrayal or destruction is to come to an institution, look for that undoing to come from within. Efforts to topple these operations which come from without only serve to strengthen them. Efforts from within to destroy are sure and most effective. As one considers these things, paranoia may result. But that's not my intention. To be forewarned, however, is to be forearmed. It is also difficult to think about treachery and treason without thinking in military terms. The Apostle Paul used many military terms and descriptions when speaking of the Christian's journey and battle with the influence of the world. It is a legitimate analogy between our fight of faith and the commonly understood characteristics of war. It's easy to understand that there is an enemy who has declared war on us and considers our soul as the prize of conquest. When speaking in spiritual terms, and someone refers to the enemy, we know that it is the enemy of our soul, the same tempter who appeared to Eve in the garden, and the same who tempted Christ upon the mountains of Jerusalem. Let us consider for a moment the effort of this enemy to topple the faith of Christians, to render them ineffective or useless. Let's look at the very real threat of Satan to destroy the soul of the Christian by subterfuge. Taking into account that which we have learned, let's consider that although attacks from without may be very real, as was said before, it's more likely to find the real nemesis nearer their target of betrayal. We would do well to look at those we consider friends if we are to be diligent and realistic in searching out deception. The Apostle Jude describes the military action of infiltration as men who, quote, crept in unawares, unquote. Here, these men are described as among the brethren, teaching that sin was covered by the prevenient grace and thereby damning the souls of those who believe the lie. Dangerous teaching rarely comes from outside the church. Deception and treachery are not pleasant subjects, but they are a necessary part of a diligent defense. The most poorly defended Christian is he who focuses his eyes upon the adversary that is outside his camp and gives no heed to the enemy inside. The enemy within may take the form of the trusted one among us, the eldest leader, or the youngest in Christ. Sometimes the host of these thoughts or ideas which take us away from truth and righteousness are unaware that they're even suggesting such a departure. As in the case of Peter, Jesus had no qualm about referring to the would-be apostle as Satan. As Jesus approached the day of his crucifixion, he told Peter of his upcoming torture. Peter said what would be considered by most as a very brave statement. "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." He was telling the Lord that he need not die, but that they would find alternatives. They would even fight to save him. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things who be of men." Notice how the source of the advice Peter gave was determined. Jesus attributed the advice to Satan because it turned men away from what God desires for them and toward what is safe and desirable to man's flesh. We must, through the power of the Spirit and the advice and counsel of the Scriptures, determine what is good and sound advice and doctrine. We must not accept everything that sounds reasonable, because we, as men, will tend toward the comfortable and that which scratches our itch. This itching will undoubtedly be offered a scratch by the deceiving teacher, the well-meaning zealot, the traditionalist among the elders, or anyone within our fortifications. We must be on guard against such deception, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. The betrayer will probably not be one who stands and proclaims that Jesus is not the Son of God. The deceiver, most likely, will not be the one who openly denies the deity of Christ or claims a false Messiah. Nor is he apt to be one who promotes sin and rebellion against God. He'll likely be the one who comes as a friend to Christ and kisses him. He'll be the one who says, "Hail, Master." The most effective betrayal will be the one least expected, from the least expected source, using the least offensive speech. Perhaps the deception will be spoken by a well-respected person with good intentions, like Peter, whose advice, if followed, would have been disastrous to the eternal plan of salvation of mankind. His advice sounded good and acceptable, only to ears not trained to hear error, but to ears trained to hear diversion from the will of God, and a mind set to God's desires, heard the treachery immediately, even though it was veiled in good intentions, love and concern, and bravery and virtue. This pivotal event was a grand opportunity for Jesus to teach his disciples, and we, of the future, this principle of betrayal and treachery. So Jesus stood up and watched Judas approach with the soldiers in tow. Judas comes closer still until he is face to face with Christ. Judas glances behind him to make sure he was in full view of the soldiers. Then, in the light of the near full moon, he kissed the cheek of Messiah, finding it wet with tears of his long Gethsemane prayer. The soldiers, having received their sign, began to approach. Jesus asked his friend, as if to record this fact for our first lesson in betrayal, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?"